From above planet Earth, golden lights shoot up across the continents. Large gold letters fly around the planet and form the word Universal across the front of it. www.universalstudios.com. A drop of clear liquid falls in the darkness. It lands and sends out ripples of dark water tinged with golden light. The ripples form the word imagine, entertainment. Universal Studios Family Productions and Imagine Entertainment present a Universal Animation Studios production. Title, Curious George 2, Follow That Monkey. The sun rises over the city. George the monkey runs along the window ledge of his apartment block. He waves to a lady watering her window box.
Good morning, George.
Tim Curry. Clint Howard.
Live a lifeless set.
Jamie Kennedy. George jumps down a fire escape and helps the doorman hoist the U.S. flag.
Up she goes.
Well, I hate Matt Lauer. To be a father, but it's you and there's no other.
Jerry Lewis.
You can call me naive.
Frank Welker.
You know me very well, at least as far as I can tell.
Jeff Bennett. George jumps onto a passing bus. Voice direction and casting by Susan Blue, based on the books by Margaret and H.A. Ray. George jumps off the top of the bus and leaps across several advertising hoardings. Edited by John Bryant. Music by Heider Pereira. Original songs by Carbon Leaf. California Sun, performed by Brian Wilson.
Hey! The comics are good today, George. Okay, I'll put it on your tab. Enjoy!
Co-executive producers, Jim Whitaker, David Bernardi. Executive producers, Ron Howard, Brian Grazer. Look inside the day. Executive producers David Kirshner, John Shapiro. Produced by Cher Stallings. Along every path we go. The fountain is turned on and George rises into the air on the water jet. Story by Chuck Tately, Daryl Rooney. Screenplay by Chuck Tately. Catch your eye to something great. Directed by Norton Bergian. Arriving back at his and his friend Ted's apartment, George looks at the newspaper he picked up. There's a picture of an elephant in an advert for Piccadilly's Circus of Magic. George looks over at a photo of him riding on an elephant's back in the jungle. Ted has fallen asleep with his head on his computer. Z's scroll across the screen. George jumps up onto Ted, but he sleeps on. George pushes him onto his back and climbs onto his chest. Ted blearily opens his eyes and sees George smiling at him.
Okay. Now I'm awake. 7:45? Oh, no! I'm late!
He trips over the bedsheets and falls. George gestures for Ted to stand up. Now, dressed, Ted adjusts his tie.
Sorry, George, I don't have time for the paper today. I'm late for my meeting with Mr. Bloomsbury. Wish me luck.
Wearing his trademark yellow hat, Ted leaves. George puts the newspaper down. Ted hurries into the museum.
Reason 12. I organize all the pencils in the museum according to size and sharpness. Reason 24. I arrange for the toothbrushes of the British Royalty exhibit. Display case. Whatever. Reason 33. I color-coded the color code labels. Sorry, I'm late, Mr. Bloomsbury. Since you announced your retirement, I've been thinking, and I've put together 50 reasons, 35 sub-reasons, and a handful of compelling arguments why, of all the candidates to replace you, I should...
Ed, you're not one of the candidates.
Oh, thanks for seeing me, sir.
You're the only candidate.
I am?
Yes. I couldn't imagine leaving the Bloomsbury Museum in the hands of anybody else.
Not even Junior Bloomsbury?
My son? Oh, heavens no. He has other ambitions.
Jurassic Parking.
You've earned this, Ted.
Me? A museum director? Wow!
And all you've got to do is get approved by the board of directors at their annual meeting next week.
The board of directors, but they're powerful, intimidating men with mustaches and male pattern baldness.
Relax, Ted. They're just as scared of you as you are of them.
Really?
Absolutely. No, wait, that's bears. Anyway, just tell the board your vision for the museum. Make them believe in you. Inspire them.
Mr. Bloomsbury hits a golf ball, which bounces around the room and lands in a vase that Ted's holding.
Huh? Oh. Oh. Okay. Sure, I can do that.
He accidentally knocks the vase over. Later, with Maggie.
Ted, all of your hard work is finally paying off, and I'm very proud of you. But... even future museum directors need to take a little time off.
But I've only got 1 week to put together my whole priorities for the future presentation. Most people only talk about the future, not me. I put it in a binder. Oh, hi, George.
George climbs in through the window. He takes Ted by the hand and leads him back to the window. He points to a poster for the circus across the street.
You want to see the elephant? Sorry, George, not today. I gotta pick the colors for my bar graphs. Today I'm thinking earth tones. Has anybody seen my bar graphs?
Bar graphs.
Huh. Hey, mustard's a good color.
Ted, all this important stuff isn't the most important stuff. You need to think about your loved ones.
You mean George? I think of him all the time. Those aren't toys, George. See? Just thought of him again.
Ted, the people you really care about and who care about you need your attention now. Or there may not be a later. Do you understand?
Ted grins and gets up from his desk.
Sure, I understand. I do.
Maggie puckers up for a kiss.
Hey, George, pack your smile. We're going to see the elephant.
George balances on a globe, then jumps to Ted.
You see, I totally caught your drift. We are so in sync. See you later, Maggie.
Maggie is left alone.
Hey, you want to come too?
She smiles. George, Ted, and Maggie arrive at the theater across the street. A man in sunglasses, Dano Wolf, watches them via a security camera.
Peculiar?
George waves to a man. A spotlight comes on as he, Ted, and Maggie take their seats.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct your eyes to center stage as we present direct from London. That's in England. The great...
A magician in a top hat appears in a puff of smoke.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I shall endeavor to amuse you with prestidigitation, mesmerization, legerdemain, and other large words. Ah, Tina, my lovely assistant. If you would kindly step into the enchanted cabinet. Behold, the insupposable metamorphosis of woman into waterfowl.
The green duck comes running out. Ted is looking at his book.
Ted!
Maggie takes the book from him. The magician grabs the duck.
And now, for an outstanding wonder hitherto unseen by civilized man.
The magician presses a button with his foot. A trap door in the bottom of Piccadilly's magic cabinet opens, allowing the duck to get out and Tina to get back in. As the show continues, Ted sneaks a look at his work.
Now tell me, does anyone here like blowing bubbles? Well, next time, try this!
Piccadilly blows an enormous bubble, and an elephant magically appears within it.
Kayla! Two-top juggling Paddy-Dell!
Tina throws a couple of balls to Kayla the elephant, and she begins juggling them with her trunk. George claps his hands and flips over. Kayla goes a bit off course and bumps into the set, knocking it over. George watches aghast as Kayla knocks over the bubble mixture and slips in it. She slides across the stage and lands in a heap. George slowly uncovers his eyes. Piccadilly comes over to Kayla.
Oh, Kayla, there's no spunk in your trunk, no pep in your proboscis.
He smiles.
And no cause for alarm. Elephants do not forget. But sometimes they do get stage fright. Now, for the next trick, I require a volunteer from the audience.
Ted.
Oh, right.
Yes, you, sir. The man with the yellow hat.
Me?
Please, sir, join us on stage.
Oh, gee, I have a bad case of stage blight. Fright, obviously.
Go on. It'll be fun.
Fun?
Push. I'm good. I'm fine.
Heavens, what a fluorescent chapeau. May I?
Well,
oh, trust me.
Piccadilly takes Ted's hat and magically produces three white doves from it. The birds settle on Ted's head and shoulders.
Sir, I'd like you to help me make this elephant vanish. All you have to do is say the magic words Pachydermatus vamoosicus.
Pachydermatus whatsicus?
Close enough!
Piccadilly treads on a button, and Kayla vanishes in a puff of smoke. George shakes his head in wonder.
Thank you. I'm sure you wish this would work on the mother-in-law.
George, it's just a trick.
No problem. I'll deal with the jiggy monkey.
Oh.
George causes chaos on stage as he looks for Kayla.
George! Come here.
Piccadilly, Ted, and Tina try to catch him as he balances on a rolling ball. Ted trips over and lands on top of the ball, bursting it.
Yours?
Yeah, he's a tad curious, that's all.
His name's George.
Come out, curious George.
Now inside the magic cabinet, George accidentally opens the trap door and falls through it, making it look like he's vanished. Piccadilly opens the cabinet.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Under the stage, George bounces on a crash mat with Piccadilly's duck. George turns around and spots Kayla. He goes over to her and strokes her trunk. George pats her trunk, then pushes her mouth up into a smile. The smile quickly drops from Kayla's face. George looks around and spots a bucket of peanuts.
I wanna be the smile.
George tries to juggle with a couple of them, but can only manage it with one.
I wanna be your friend from the start, and once it starts, it never ends.
peanuts. I wanna
he drops that too. I wanna George throws a handful of peanuts into the air and lets them fall to the floor.
I wanna be the sunshine on your smiling face.
Smiling, Kayla takes one of the peanuts and eats it. George hands her a few more and she munches them.
Where all we do is float under the sun on the rolling sea.
George throws more nuts to Kayla, who catches and eats them. George falls into the peanut bucket, and Kayla laughs, showering the grumpy duck with peanut shells. Kayla takes the bucket off George and picks him up.
George, where are you?
Kayla swings George back and forth with her trunk and accidentally drops him. He flies through the air and hits a button, which opens a roller door out onto the street. George gestures to come outside, so Kayla follows him out. She picks him up and puts him on her shoulders. George points off up the street. As Kayla turns to look, she bumps into the button, closing the roller door again. The duck watches as Kayla and George head off up the street and the door closes behind them.
Kayla? Kayla? Kayla?
Security!
Dano is on the scene. He pulls on latex gloves and gathers evidence. Monkey hair, peanut husks, and a spilt drink. He examines monkey and elephant footprints, then finds the duck.
You think this innocent act of yours is fooling anyone, huh? You can go. For now. If you feel like coming clean, contact me. Dano Wolf, head of security.
Hey, boss, I'm no expert, but I can't help but notice that none of these people has an elephant-sized bulge underneath their coats.
I suppose, Miss Fisher, you think that's clever. Hmm? But take away the elephant's water weight, and you're left with 25 pounds of minerals.
You think someone dehydrated the elephant?
A crime stuffer never rules out a possibility. Next?
I suggest no sudden moves. He's high-strung.
Yes. The man with the mischievous monkey.
Not mischievous, just curious.
Where is he, anyway?
Well, believe it or not, George has gone missing, too.
Really?
It's not that strange. He probably wandered off. He does it all the time.
Oh, you know, maybe Kayla wandered off with George.
So, that's your story? Your monkey did it?
No, what? Oh, ticklish, okay. You know, I bet they're just out having fun.
Fun? Kidnapping is fun to you? I suppose murder's just a party then, huh?
What? Murder?
International espionage, just another day at the beach?
No beach.
Dano falls through a trapdoor in the stage.
Listen, yellow man, I've got my eye on you. Don't leave town.
He never does.
The local police claim a lost elephant is not their problem.
Does it matter? I've made it mine. I will find your hippo.
Elephant.
Oh, elephant. Sorry.
Baby elephant alone in the big city. She must be terrified.
George leads Kayla up the street to his apartment block. Ivan, the doorman, is at the desk.
Sinatra, Abba, Tchaikovsky.
George and Kayla are stuck in front of the apartment block's revolving door. George has an idea and suggests to Kayla that she should pass through it by standing on her back legs. She tries, but is too wobbly. George suggests walking on her front legs. She tries and follows him through the door. Listening to his music with his back to the door, Ivan neither hears nor sees them come in. George and Kayla squeeze into the elevator. George opens the apartment door, then realizes that Kayla is too big to fit through it. He tries pushing her, but she's too heavy. He tickles her foot with her own tail. As she writhes about, she squeezes through the door, but breaks the plaster off the walls. A TV news report.
And it was here that this nightmare scenario first began. Even the great Piccadilly, who makes his living causing things to vanish, is unable to explain this apparent sleight of hand. The magician acquired the elephant a few months ago. Kayla is seen here with her brother Tonga and sister Layla. Just a playful little elephant with no idea of the heart-rending drama that lies ahead of her. The elephant's original home was this animal park in California. Now animal lovers across the country can only wait and wonder what will become of her.
George? George, when I said no guests over without permission, I am pretty sure that included elephants.
This is Hark Hansen.
What were you thinking? Peanuts. Yes. Yes, of course. It makes total sense. Well, I better call Mr. Piccadilly and tell him.
Thank you for calling the Metropolitan Theater. To continue this call in Spanish, press 1. For Chinese, press 2. For Klingon, press cha. For a schedule of upcoming events, press 1. For a map, press 2. You've reached customer service.
Finally!
Our office hours are weekdays from 10 to 6. Please call back then.
Ted shakes his fists and grimaces.
Come on, George. We've got to take Kayla back home.
George leads Kayla by the trunk. Her weight has broken the sofa she was sitting on. As she squeezes back through the door, she breaks more plaster off the walls. Ted sighs heavily and follows them. The apartment door falls off its hinges as he walks away.
If we meet anyone, I'll do the talking. Not sure what I'll say. Any story that begins with my monkey and I is trouble.
Mr. Piccadilly, how does this unexplained, mysterious, near disastrous turn of events make you feel?
I've been imitated by idiots, pilloried by critics, and walked out on by Philistines. But stealing a man's elephant? That's just not done. Kayla is not only the star of my show, she's family.
Like an elephant could just walk away and no one would notice.
Tragedy and intrigue. Tonight, a special report on the elephant kidnapping.
George? Kayla?
This is Hark Hansen on the elephant hunt.
Ted hurries after George and Kayla, who have spotted a poster for the California Express.
George, no!
He gets cut off from them by a busy road junction. George and Kayla make their way to the station and step inside. Looking around, George spots a poster for the California Express. Ted runs into the station.
Where the days are short and the nights are long.
Ted asks a woman if she's seen George and Kayla. The woman shrugs. He asks a porter, and he also holds out his hand and shrugs. Ted tries the ticket office, but there's no one there. A couple of guys point to the platform. The train's guard looks surprised as George and Kayla wander along the platform.
Typical. My list just says trunk. Who knew there'd be an elephant attached? Well, the boxcar's empty.
George and Kayla climb into the boxcar. Ted looks out over the train platforms. Hearing the sound, he looks looks around and sees it's just a man playing the trumpet. Ted runs along the platform and finds George and Kayla.
George, what are you doing here? Yeah, I know Kayla's an elephant. She has to go home. And so do we. I have a big presentation to prepare, and I haven't even begun to alphabetize. Okay, I'm putting my foot down, young monkey.
All aboard!
So get out of this car right now. There is no way we're riding a train tonight. Nuh-uh.
The boxcar door closes.
No, wait!
The California Express sets off.
And I'll fly. We're out there having fun in the warm California sun.
Yeah. The train speeds out of the city, heading west.
In the warm California sun.
Oh my gosh, there are no seatbelts. Help. We're trapped. Great. I've gone from museum director to boxcar hobo. And look at my priorities. My poor, beautiful priorities. Does anybody see my pie charts?
Ted's work is scattered all over the boxcar. The pie charts are stuck to Kayla.
Oh, never mind. I'll just recreate them. Wait, I have my phone. No, no signal. Come on, baby, give me some signal. Papa needs a new pair of bars. Come on. Wait, now there's two. Now there's three. Now there's none.
His shoulders sag. As evening falls, the train speeds past a horse and carriage in a lane. A full moon hangs in the night sky. Ted sits on the floor of the boxcar, looking through his work.
George, you're in my light.
George is by the window.
You've seen the moon before.
George flaps his arms and points.
Bird. Oh, flying. No, no, the moon isn't flying.
Ted gets up and joins George at the window.
Oh, I see. Well, actually, that's an interesting illusion. See, the moon is far away and the trees are close, so we get a parallax effect where it's... Or, sometimes the man in the moon looks down, sees a little monkey he likes, and follows him. Why don't you say goodnight to the moon and go sleep with Kayla? Goodnight, George.
Kayla is already fast asleep. George goes over to her and uses one of her large ears as a blanket. He settles down to sleep. The train races on. At the theater.
Come on in. We're all set up.
Brilliant. Extraordinary. Impressive array. Do they do anything?
Yeah. We've got security tapes, satellite tracking, thermal vision, wiretaps, fingerprint databases, spectral and DNA analysis, and, the theater organ.
This was the only room available on short notice.
But not to worry. Stand back and behold the future of crime stuffing.
Bruno flips a switch, and nothing happens. His assistant, Miss Fisher, notices the equipment is all unplugged.
You forgot to plug in the future.
Whoops!
Dano plugs it in and gives the thumbs up. All the screens and dials suddenly come to life.
Oh, spot on, Mr. Wolf.
Dano smiles. The sun rises as the California Express races through open countryside. In the boxcar, Kayla is still fast asleep. So too is Ted, who slumbers leaning against a hay bale. George is sitting on top of the bale, amusing himself by blowing bits of hay. He finds Ted's phone and begins playing with that instead. He tries wearing it as a hat, then presses one of the buttons.
Thank you for calling the Metropolitan Theater. For Spanish, press 1. For Chinese, press 2. You got ne sing jido da di, cheng ne da, ni ga di mo.
He rubs the phone on his head. Kayla wakes up. George climbs down off the hay bale and, on seeing Kayla get up, tosses the phone aside. It stays on and its battery is nearly out of power. Kayla comes over to George and greets him. She shakes Ted with her trunk. As he doesn't wake, she puts her trunk over his nose and blows.
No! Oh, Kayla! George! Train! Right.
He looks out of the window and sees a city.
Wow! The Gateway Arch! This is St. Louis! When the train stops, we can yell for someone to let us out! We're going home!
The train races into a station and races straight on out of it.
That was St. Louis. Okay. Okay, I'm not gonna freak out. My cell phone should work here. But it has a dead battery. Duh! Kayla? George? Cover your ears.
They cover them.
Now I'm freaking out!
Back at the theater, Dano is monitoring calls.
Miss Fisher! You should hear this.
It came into the call center as Chinese. Get a translator.
That's a monkey.
Don't be silly. Monkeys don't speak Chinese.
Beginning voice recognition.
We have a voice print match. It's a monkey.
Your powers of observation are dizzying.
Oh, dizzying. I like that. Yes, thank you, Miss Fisher.
There's no signal from the phone.
Let's review. Why would a Chinese-speaking monkey call, then disable the phone? Answer? Because he's taunting us. Miss Fisher, this may be the most devious monkey ever.
George has drawn a picture of himself and Ted on Ted's work.
George! What are you doing? This is my presentation to the board.
George and Kayla look at each other.
I have to find a way out of here!
He leans out of the window and tries to reach the door catch.
Just another inch. The handle's too far. I'm sorry I yelled at you. It's just that these three little rings hold my entire career. My whole future is all in this binder. So just be more careful, okay?
George and Kayla open the door, and the wind blows all Ted's work out. He tries to catch it and falls out too, but George grabs his hand. As he leans out of the boxcar, he hits a bush and tumbles to the ground. The train races on without him.
I'm okay. I'm okay! I'll catch up with you, George! Promise!
George and Kayla watch as Ted disappears into the distance. A buzzard circles in the air as Ted walks along the railway tracks with the hot sun shining down on him. He mops his brow. His face lights up as he sees Humbleton Station. He runs into the station.
You've got to stop the California Express.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
No, Cherie. The CE don't stop for nothing. For nobody, no one.
except for fuel and Grand Junction.
Listen, we're talking a genuine emergency here. My monkey and elephant and all my priorities are trapped in a boxcar headed to California. But I was bushwhacked, literally, and fell off the train and...
And you hit your head, I reckon?
Well, yes. But I... Oh, never mind. My cell phone is dead. I need to make a call.
I bet you do. Well, I figure I can charge your phone. Well, you're gonna have to call your monkey outside.
First, I'll call Piccadilly. Then, I'll catch up with the train.
He puts money in a payphone on the platform.
You're saying my elephant was kidnapped by a monkey? I suppose he wants £20 in unmarked bananas.
Don't be fooled. I can read a criminal face. That monkey's a lifetime offender.
Probably started off kidnapping squirrels. That's the gateway animal.
For English, press 99.
Oh, come on, I'm running out of change.
Dano picks up the phone.
Pilford Pachyderm Unit, can I help you?
Hi, I have your elephant.
It's the kidnapper.
Beginning trace.
Okay, first, I want you to know she's okay.
Five
Second.
Seconds. Please deposit $2 for another minute.
I need more money.
What do they want?
You need money?
Yes, but your elephant is fine. Just fine.
Ooh. Or $5 for 10 minutes.
Can I just...
And that includes a subscription to pay weekly.
I need that money!
He breaks the phone.
Oh, nuts. Look, I'll talk fast. We'll be home soon and everything is gonna be fine. Well, at least I got that covered.
It's a kidnapping, all right. But that was no monkey.
Nobody can fool you, crime stuffer wolf.
The situation is worse than I thought. Our monkey has an accomplice.
Oh, my poor Kayla.
I suspect this man.
Blimey, I would never have believed it.
That's because you haven't taken the online crime stuffer correspondence course. I have.
It's true what they say. You don't appreciate your elephant till she's gone. You must get Kayla back.
Gotcha. The call came from a payphone in Humboldt, Colorado.
No taxi? No bus? No car for rent?
Well, let me see. Would you like the Bentley or the Lamborghini?
Don't you have any form of transportation?
Just my bike.
Now Dano's new suspect, Ted, rides unsteadily on the station master's old motorcycle beside the railway line. The train speeds on over a bridge. Kayla looks out of the boxcar at George, who sits up on its roof.
Oh.
A smell wafts his way, and George gets up and follows it. Ted rides the motorbike across a bridge. He smiles as he sees the train going by a short distance up ahead. George follows the smell to a hatch in the roof of a carriage. He looks down and sees a chef take a tray of fresh bread rolls out of an oven. The chef puts the rolls in a basket, then swaps his chef's hat for a red beret and goes into the next carriage. George jumps down through the hatch and helps himself to some leftover rolls and some fruit from a bowl. He finds he can't carry very much of it, so looks around for a solution. He spots the chef's hat. The chef returns and finds that his hat has gone. George drags the hat, now full of food, back to the boxcar. He arrives wearing the hat. Kayla pulls the hat off him, and all the food falls out. They eat some of it. Then Kayla starts juggling with some of the fruit. She manages to keep three pieces going. Ted rides alongside the train on the motorbike. Ted sees the train is about to go onto another bridge with no room for him to ride beside it. He grabs frantically at the brake. The motorbike flies off the side of the ravine beside the bridge, and Ted starts to fall. The motorbike plummets earthward. Ted grabs his yellow hat, then Kayla's trunk grabs his ankle. She pulls him up into the boxcar. Ted gets to his feet. He and George share a hug.
No one has ever been happier to see his monkey. And elephant. Thanks, Kayla.
I missed you too.
She hugs him tight. Dano's in a taxi.
Calling the Metropolitan Theater.
Pick up, pick up.
Security.
ETA, Miss Fisher?
10 minutes closer than the last time you asked me.
Coffee much, Miss Fisher?
She is drinking coffee.
Oh, hang on. We're picking up the cell phone signal again from the same coordinates as the payphone.
Bingo! I've got the corner.
The taxi pulls up at Humbleton Station. Dano finds the broken payphone, then dashes inside and sees the station master with Ted's phone.
Freeze!
Startled, she drops the phone.
Horse feathers! Look what you did!
What are you doing with that phone?
Nothing. Now that you made me break it.
I mean, where did you get it?
From some guy.
Is this the man?
A photo of Ted.
Hard to say.
Dano colors it in yellow.
How about now?
Yep, that's him. Strange fella. He was chasing after the California Express.
Oh. And where is that train going?
California. But she does stop in Grand Junction.
Really? You're always one step ahead of me. But I'm on to you now. And I'm closing in.
Mister, are you talking to that picture?
I've got a train to catch.
Aboard the California Express, Ted and George eat while Kayla juggles.
Hey, she's getting good. You guys been practicing? Oh, sure. Kayla can probably handle one more, right, Kayla?
She juggles four pieces of fruit.
George!
George tosses her several more pieces. She staggers about. She tries to keep them all in the air.
My binder!
Kayla crushes it. She falls over, and the shock decouples the boxcar from the rest of the train.
Say! We're picking up speed!
The train carries on up a hill, while the boxcar and two other carriages hurtle back down the hill. They startle a moose, which kicks a lever, altering the points of a junction. The boxcar whizzes on down a different track, like an out-of-control roller coaster.
Oh boy!
George, Ted, and Kayla are thrown about inside the boxcar as it races down the track. It goes into a dark tunnel, and an extra pair of eyes appears in the darkness. The train emerges from the tunnel and goes into a dip. It goes up the far side, then rolls back the way it came. It continues back and forth until it eventually comes to a halt. George and Ted both wait for the train to settle.
was a... I may need some time to process that.
Ted collapses onto the floor.
Here we go.
Dano arrives at Grand Junction Station with a couple of henchmen. One of them has a monkey-catching net.
You get the elephant. The monkey and the man with the yellow hat are mine.
The train pulls into the station and the guard checks his watch.
Well, what do you know? 14 minutes early.
Dano Wolf, security. Where's the elephant?
The guard points to the missing boxcar.
Where's the rest of my train?
In a field.
I don't know what's worse, blowing my career or having a blister on my toe the size of Texas. Okay, Rhode Island. Come on, guys, stop goofing around. Seriously, if you're not careful... that might happen.
Kayla accidentally threw George through a hedge. He lands on a road sign marked East, which spins around and around. It ends up pointing the wrong way. Ted and Kayla climb through the hedge.
What? You think that's funny? You could have really gotten hurt. We should be looking for a road, and instead you're... George, you found a road. Oh. Okay, a road. We just catch a ride east and we are on our way.
The three of them stand at the side of the road, trying to thumb a lift. A lorry races by without stopping.
Okay, this is gonna be hard. Or not.
The lorry backs up and gives them a ride. A TV show, A Few Minutes of Fame, with Hark Hansen.
As part of our round-the-clock elephant napping special coverage, I'm pleased to have the great Piccadilly, the traumatized victim. These past 24 hours have been hard on all of us, though perhaps even more so for you. Your naked suffering on display before a watching, waiting world while you wonder who's made off with your elephant.
Well,
I mean, here you are, powerless while your elephant is in the hands of, well, who knows?
Who knows? I know.
Yeah.
It's these two.
He holds up photos of Ted and George. As it gets late, Ted settles down to sleep beside George and Kayla in the back of the lorry. Another TV show, Monkey on the Run, with Hark Hansen.
America is mad. Let's hear you speak out.
What kind of monster would take an elephant?
Oh, elephant stealers should go to jail for like a million years.
I know, Ted.
Huh?
He's a good man. There must be some explanation.
The next morning, Ted wakes up.
You know, despite everything, it's been kind of nice getting away. Still, it'll be good to get back to California's best? Avocados? Surfers? We're in California!
George wakes Kayla. The lorry drops them off.
Why didn't someone tell me we were going in the wrong direction? Aren't animals supposed to have instincts about this stuff?
Another TV show, The Network News.
Welcome back to The Network News with Hark Hansen. It's time to hear what the suspected elephant napper's employer has to say.
I don't understand it. Ted's the most honest man I know. He once walked 3 miles to return change to a customer. Oh, wait, that was Abraham Lincoln.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bloomsbury.
Ted, George, and Kayla find a pickup truck that's stuck.
Come on. Kick it in.
Hey there. Can we help?
We?
Kayla pushes the pickup truck.
Is that an elephant?
Well, I'll be.
Is that a monkey?
That's George.
That's Anna.
Any way I can thank you, mister?
Well, can I use your phone? I guess she's about 2 tons. That's right, and I'll have to pay you later. I left town unexpectedly. Well, it's a long story.
Kayla eats some of Farmer Dan's hay.
One more.
A forkful of hay lands on Ted's head as Farmer Dan forks it down from the hayloft. George runs around the barn, jumping from beams and swinging on ropes. Ted climbs a ladder.
Well, the good news is I found a freight company that will ship Kayla back home. The bad news is they charge by the pound, and they can't come until tomorrow.
Well, then it looks like we've got house guests.
Anna and George play together.
They're having a pretty good time.
They jump from the hayloft into a pile of hay. Kayla catches Anna.
That's my girl. Seems like it's your turn, Ted.
Me? Oh, no. No. Jumping into hay from a great height is not my idea of... Whoa!
Ooh. Hey, that wasn't so bad.
Oh. Okay, I could have lived without that, though.
George jumps off him. George sees a cow in a field outside the barn. He and Kayla go to see it. Kayla breaks the fence as she climbs over it. The cow moos at George.
Cares are blowing.
The cow licks Ted's face. George sees Anna milking a cow. She squirts some of the milk in George's mouth.
Just long enough for changing up the scenery.
Kayla sucks some milk up in her trunk, then sprays it at Ted, George, and Anna. Later, Ted and George are picking berries. George eats all the ones he picks.
To the heart of the day.
George, those are dirty. They should be washed and sanitized and pasteurized and...
These are amazing. It's like there's a party in my mouth.
A grumpy-looking pig steps out of the fruit bushes and walks up to George.
We're running with the wind, but there's no finish line.
Frightened, George runs for it. The pig chases him through the fruit bushes.
Just step outside ourselves, and suddenly we see this is where we ought to be.
As the pig charges out of a bush, George throws it a bucket of fruit. The pig munches the berries and immediately calms down. George and Ted stroke the pig. Now George and Anna swing on a rope and jump into a lake.
Come on, Ted!
Holding his shorts up, Ted swings on the rope. Kayla does a flying leap into the lake.
Just take a clear the pool!
Go!
She causes a huge wave, which washes Anna, George, and Farmer Dan onto the lake shore.
To the heart of the day.
Where's my bathing suit?
Ted stays in the water and flashes an embarrassed smile.
Oh, what a day. I haven't had this much fun since... Well, probably the week I first met George. Remember? Yes. Peekaboo. Chased by a rhino. Bitten by giant bugs. Good times.
The paper's here.
George loves the comics.
Be my guest.
Oh my gosh. Look! They've got a story about Kayla.
California Animal Park.
Kayla came from the California Animal Park? And these other two elephants are her brother and sister? Wow. You knew all that before, didn't you, George? That's why you brought us to California. So Kayla could see her family.
George goes over to Kayla and hugs her.
Hey, look! picture of you and George, too.
Huh? Elephant nappers at large? What? That's impossible. I called. It was taken care of.
Mr. Bloomsbury's phone rings.
Mr. Bloomsbury?
Ted? Where are you? People think you stole an elephant.
I know. It's crazy.
Miss Fisher taps the call.
Well, it's a little crazy.
The museum's swarming with people. Everyone's looking for you.
For me?
And George. It's all over the news.
But I called.
Oh, do you think this will affect the board's decision?
Forget the board. You may go to jail.
Jail?
Miss Fisher uses her computer to trace where Ted is calling from.
Ooh, I gotcha.
Listen, Mr. Bloomsbury, I'll get this all straightened out. We'll be home tomorrow, I promise.
Ted hangs up.
So, you're not taking Kayla to see her family?
I never was. I can't.
A disappointed George comes over to Ted.
I'm sorry, George.
He holds up the newspaper photo of Kayla's family and points to it.
George, listen to me, okay? I know you want Kayla to see her family, but Mr. Piccadilly has been looking for her and wants her back. No, George, we're in big trouble. The big legal go directly to jail, do not pass go kind. Don't you understand?
George shakes his head.
I know you didn't mean to get us into this mess, but you have, and it ends now.
George, Kayla, and Anna all look glum. George looks up at Ted, then goes over to Kayla.
Look, I'm sorry. I just don't have any other choice.
George walks away with Kayla.
Still friends?
George and Kayla walk towards a tree, which is illuminated by the full moon.
Love and joy.
Come on, Anna. Let's get ready for bed.
Okay.
Anna heads inside. She stops in the doorway and shoots a look at Ted, then goes on into the house.
Like the perfect song, that imperfect
Ted sits on a swing chair on the veranda and looks over at George and Kayla, who are settling down to sleep at the foot of the tree.
With the rhymes, so let your troubles roll by.
He picks up the newspaper and slowly makes his way inside. Bedroom. Ted sorts out his work papers on the bed, then looks over at the picture of Kayla and her family in the newspaper. He picks the paper up and looks at the picture of him and George.
As they make their way home, and he fears the dream will freeze if it's left alone in the cold.
He goes over to the window and looks out at Kayla and George, who are asleep under the tree.
Keep in touch with the lost emotion.
Pig wakes up and sees the rooster is perching on his head. Ted steps out of the farmhouse, clutching his work folder. Farmer Dan is nearby, chopping logs.
Morning, Dad. Sleep well?
Not a wink. Do you suppose they'll let me keep my hat in prison?
Hang in there, Ted. I figure this mess will get straightened out.
You think? But then what? What museum is going to hire a famous fugitive from justice as their director?
You sure do worry a lot.
Well, let's see. I'm wanted in 24 states. I'm hated in all 50. My career's down the toilet, and George and I will end up on the streets with a tin cup playing the hurdy-gurdy. You bet I'm worried.
Yep, guess you're right. Can't get any worse than that.
Right.
Ted chops a log and then looks over at Kayla and George. George is sitting in the tree they slept under. Kayla reaches up and prods him with her trunk. George laughs, and Kayla picks him out of the tree.
Yeah, can't get any worse.
Guess not.
Anna comes running after George and Kayla.
Wait up!
So, what am I worried about? Come on, George! Come on, Kayla! If we're gonna make it to the animal park, we better get moving!
Yay!
Why not? If things can't get any worse, they can only get better, right? Woo! So let's have an elephant family reunion! Okay, I'm happy too! I'm happy!
The park's just beyond the Golden Gate Bridge.
A helicopter approaches.
This ain't good.
The helicopter lands and Dano jumps out of it.
Nobody move!
Mr. Wolf, I'm so glad you're here. Finally, we can clear this up.
I told you not to leave town.
I tried not to, believe me. You know what? It's a funny story, really.
Don't worry, Kayla. Dano Wolf is in charge now. Out of my way, banana breath.
Leave him alone.
Go ahead. I've taken an 8-week internet course in karate.
No!
Hang on, Anna.
The grumpy pig charges at Dano and George.
Oh, please, that'll trick.
The pig knocks Dano into a water butt.
Pilot! Do something!
He rolls about, stuck in the barrel.
That's step four, boss.
Kayla walks slowly towards the helicopter and stares at the pilot. The helicopter pilot pulls back on his joystick and the helicopter takes off. George jumps up onto Kayla and hugs her.
You're all in my custody now. Don't make me come out of this barrel.
Sorry, Mr. Wolf. I made a promise to my monkey. I'm taking Kayla to see her family.
My backup.
You have to hide. Now!
Not so easy with an elephant, a monkey, and a bright yellow suit.
I've got an idea. Come on.
As a police car, a fire truck, and a garbage truck make their way up the road, they pass a school bus coming the other way. The bus is, in fact, only the broken shell of an old bus, and Kayla is running along inside it, with Ted and George along for the ride. They make their way over the Golden Gate Bridge. As they clump along a road in the country, they see a sign on the verge.
California Animal Park, next left. Great! Kayla, look out!
Kayla crashes through the sign. The shell of the bus falls off them and lands at a bus stop where some children are waiting. One of the children looks inside the shell of the bus as Ted, George, and Kayla go past on the road. They come to a halt further up the road and see the animal park just in front of them. Smiling, Kayla runs towards it.
Come on, George!
Hi, folks! Here is your complimentary mop!
Kayla crashes through the park gate.
Apparently she knows the way!
The guy on the gate stares. Kayla collides with a welcome sign.
That's gonna cost us.
Kayla scatters flamingos in a pool as she bounds over a rock. George and Ted follow her. The rock turns out to be a hippopotamus. Kayla rushes through a lion enclosure, and the welcome sign gets stuck in between two rocks. Kayla barges a hot dog cart out of her way and runs on to the elephant enclosure. She and the other elephants greet each other, intertwining their trunks. Ted and George watch them.
She sure was homesick. You know, coming here was a good idea, George. It was all worth it for this. Okay, I could have lived without the driving off a cliff, but I had the best time of my life. Thanks to you, George.
Uh-huh. Rogue elephant! Stop her!
No, she's harmless!
Kayla, look out!
Kayla's caught in a net. Dano's men grab Ted.
Oh. Hey!
Ted's taken away, and Dano handcuffs George.
Your crime spree ends here, monkey. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say, chitter, can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Dano leads George away. The other elephants look down. Later, Ted, George, and Kayla are all in a plane being flown back home. Ted and George are chained to their seats.
Well, we'll be on the ground soon. George, when we land, some policemen are going to come and, well, I'm probably gonna have to go away for a while. But don't worry, Maggie will take good care of you, I promise.
George looks at the manacles holding him.
I don't want to leave you either, pal.
They touch foreheads.
Aw, the elephant kidnappers are having a moment. Now I'm supposed to get all mushy and let you go. You see this? Not an ounce of mush.
What do you want?
Me? Nothing. I have everything I could ever possibly need. You, the elephant, even this. Would the monkey like a nice yellow banana? If you can get it, it's yours.
Stop that!
Dano pockets the banana.
There, there. Go ahead. The man and the monkey can't hurt you now.
George eats the banana from Dano's pocket.
What?
You are a worthy opponent, monkey.
Dano cautiously makes his way around the banana skin.
You're gonna have to do better than that to get the best of me. Dano Wolf, apprentice, P.I.
Dano goes in the cockpit, and George holds up the keys.
Nice going, George. We still need a plan. We gotta reach Piccadilly before the plane lands. Let him know this is just a big misunderstanding.
Now unchained, George goes over to Kayla. Ted sees a car parachute. The cargo door of the plane begins to open.
What's that?
Cargo door probably popped open. Again.
I'll secure it.
Ted, George, and Kayla, all wearing parachutes, look down at the city far beneath them. Ted grabs Kayla's ripcord.
After you jump, just give it a pull. Uh-oh.
Kayla pulls it.
Stop!
The wind catches Kayla's parachute, and she floats away from the plane. Dano slips on the banana skin.
Here goes!
Strapped together, Ted and George jump from the plane. Dano watches as they skydive towards the city. Dano launches himself into the air and dives after them. He misses Kayla and begins frantically flapping his arms. Seeing Ted and George free falling ahead of him, he starts running through the air towards them. He grabs hold of Ted's legs.
Gotcha!
Mr. Wolf!
Head of security.
George! Pull the ring beside you!
George pulls the ripcord, deploying the parachute. Dano grabs hold of Ted's belt, pulling his trousers down. Dano slips and clings to Ted's feet.
I'm losing my grip here!
Hang on just a bit longer!
They drift towards a park.
About to plummet!
Dano falls and lands in a lake. Ted and George touch down on the ground beside it. Dano surfaces in the lake.
I jumped from a plane without a parachute and survived. I am awesome!
Oh. Kayla lands on top of him.
Oh, that was fun, wasn't it?
Hey, can't see.
Didn't think the whole no parachute thing through, huh? Come on, we've got to get to the theater, George.
Oh, no, you don't! No!
Dano gets tangled up in Kayla's parachute.
Hey, wait for me!
At the theater, Piccadilly's grumpy duck looks up in surprise as Ted, George, and Kayla come in. He greets them all.
We must be under the stage.
Kayla climbs onto a crash mat under the trap door.
And now, for my final feat of magic, I shall produce from thin air a waterfowl.
People in the audience shrug.
Oh, who am I kidding? There's no such thing as magic. How it works is there are a bunch of levers and pulleys and a dumb little button. You push it and...
There's a flash of light and a puff of smoke, and Ted, George, and Kayla appear on the stage.
Kayla! Come on. Is it you?
It is magic!
The audience gets to its feet.
I have you now, monkey.
Dano swings across the stage on a rope and crashes into the wings.
Oh, guess who's back?
Dano jumps up and George clings to Ted.
No monkey makes a chimp out of me.
Kayla throws Dano into the air and catches him. Throws Dano across the stage onto the trapdoor. Piccadilly stamps on the release button, sending him tumbling onto the crash mat beneath the stage.
What am I doing wrong?
I think you need to work on your people skills.
Ooh. I bet they have an internet course for that.
Ted looks at his watch.
Oh, boy. I'm late for the board meeting.
George indicates he should go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am really dedicated to this museum, but between going cross-country with my monkey, falling off a train, biking off a cliff, and leaping from an airplane with an elephant, well, you know what that's like. Maybe not. It's just, I got my priorities all mixed up. Or maybe they were mixed up before. 'Cause I've learned more from one little monkey than I ever figured out from all my multicolored pie charts.
He throws them in the bin.
This is what matters. Families, friends, loved ones. People coming together. It's my top priority, and it should be this museum's. We'll sponsor living history days. Young, old, father, son, all for one for all days. We'll share our past, our present, our hopes, plans, and dreams.
The board members all stare at him.
Also, I have a few ideas for some cafeteria specials.
Hole in one! Congratulations, Mr. Director.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bloomsbury. Thank you very much. But I owe it all to George.
Later, George flies a kite made of Ted's old notes.
Whoa! Hang on, George!
The kite also has the picture that George drew of himself and Ted on it. Maggie prepares a picnic as Kayla and her family come into the park to join them.
Live a life less ordinary, live a life extraordinary with me.
Well, look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
George and Kayla run to greet each other. Piccadilly and his assistant, Tina, cycle up on a tandem.
Cheers.
You're here.
All of us.
Are Tonga and Layla visiting?
Visiting? They've joined my act. Now Kayla has her family, and my act has three times the magic.
So race along with me. Let's fill ourselves
with curiosity. A breeze catches Ted's yellow hat and blows it across the park. George chases after it. The hat lands on top of a pigeon.
To live and learn and grow.
The hat rises into the air as the pigeon tries to fly out of it. George takes the hat back to the others. He taps it with a spoon like a magician's wand, and the pigeon flies out of the hat. George puts the yellow hat on as the bird flies high up into the sky. End credits. Associate producer, Leanne Moreau. Art director, Robert Klein. Head of story, Andre Svislotsky. Storyboard artists, John Eng, Garrett Ho. Key layout artists, Jim Shankler, Audrey Stedman. Animation timing directors, Debbie Baber-Bonson. Animation checker, Chuck Martin. Assistant production managers, Tina Wantig, Mark Wilson. Cast in order of appearance: George, Frank Welker, Flowerpot Lady, Amy Hill, Ivan the Doorman, Ed Ross, Ted, Jeff Bennett. Post-production video services, CCI Digital. Track reading, Beans and Rice Editing. Songs, Life Less Ordinary, The Friendship Song, On a Roll, Part of the Day, Let Your Troubles Roll By, Waiting in the Sun, written and performed by Carbon Leaf. Animation production by Toon City Animation, Inc. Operations manager, Jonathan Tinsey. Background cleanup, supervisor, Anthony Ramos. Animation, assistant director, Rolando Sabato.
The world is bright before your eyes, and you know it's full of surprise.
Special effects, Delphin Abrio, Arnold Bembau, Enrico Caballan. Cleanup and in-between, Jan Baldeconis.
We're one step closer to home.
Lead in-betweens, Bob Coronado, Froilan Gerbo. Digital ink and paint, assistant supervisor, Elmer Medina. Lead compositor, Ross Berlantes.
Walking in the sun, we think of
color managers, Jonathan Koo, Mikey Icaro.
But nothing else compares.
CGI supervisor, Terrence Roldan.
And our friends that bring us home.
BG made painter, Ephraim Seppi.
Before your eyes and you know.
Compositing supervisor, Archie Delo Santos.
The world is curved, just take the turn and you know.
Read the books about Curious George, published by Houghton Mifflin Company. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. In space, letters forming the word universal fly around the planet. They keep on going, and then get bunched up together. Then they ping back again. Animation Studios.